Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Land Grant Holy Land's College Basketball Podcast, Bucketheads, Episode 7, where we try our very best to keep you up to speed with all the happenings of the college basketball landscape. My name is Connor Lamont, and as always, my lovely co-host here is Justin Golba. This episode may be a bit abbreviated today just because there is actually a football game tonight that we all want to watch, and people are probably familiar with the two schools that are playing tonight at 8 o'clock.
Yeah, Connor, I'm just excited to check out the Boise State-UCF game. I think that has real national title
Absolutely. Everybody's favorite local alumni team that we've been writing about for years, the Boise State Broncos.
It's very well known that we are both located in Boise, Idaho, so this should be fun.
Buckeyes play Minnesota tonight, 8 o'clock. I don't know the channel.
Fox.
We'll see how long it takes before that dude, Ibrahim, breaks off like a 45-yarder and Twitter just burns. And we still end up winning by 21.
Yeah, let's hope that when you guys are listening to this, it's after an Ohio State victory.
That's the ideal case. But we'll try to give you a rundown of kind of what's going on in the basketball world right now. We're kind of starving for news right now. Don't have a whole lot of stuff going on. I would say the biggest stories are probably outside of the Big Ten right now. Got some stuff in the AAC. Got some stuff. Is Louisville in the American too? No, Louisville's ACC, aren't they, for basketball? So we got some stuff going in the ACC, some stuff in the ACC. We got Holtman had a little funny Instagram post. We'll hit on some of the stuff and try to get through it and get y'all out of here so we can watch some football tonight.
Yeah, as you said, Connor, probably the biggest news that happened over the past couple weeks in college basketball was Imani Bates. Everybody knows who, if you don't know who this is, he was the number one recruit in 2022, kind of similar to what just happened on the football front with Quinn Ewers, being the number one recruit in 2022 class and then reclassifying to 2021. Imani Bates did the same thing. He was committed to Michigan State in June of 2020. That was always a very flowing situation. I don't think many people except for Michigan State fans thought he'd stay there, as weird as that sounds. He did not. He decommitted from Michigan State back in April of this year, and then he committed to Memphis about a week ago, which is a little surprising because most people assumed once he decommitted from Michigan State he was just headed to the G League or Overtime Elite. But he is committed to Memphis one day before the Memphis class registration deadline, I'd like to point out, so he took that up to the limit. But you know, Memphis is fantastic at recruiting just because of the Penny Hardaway connection. And, you know, they've got Imani Bates and they've got Jalen Duran too. So, you know, Connor, what do you think about seeing Imani Bates heading to Memphis?
I feel like it kind of felt like a given when you saw like the pictures and stuff that he was taking when he like on his campus visit and stuff. I was like, oh man, this is not, I mean, it's good that we won't have to face Memphis. I don't think that we're playing them in that early season. I have to double check that. I don't believe that Ohio State is going to bump into them in the early season tournament. But it's just funny because he did commit to Michigan State super, super early. I was talking to somebody about this like months ago, actually, before we had a basketball podcast. It almost seems like it's not the move for coaches to lock up commits super early like that. Like Imani Bates was a 2022. He committed to Michigan State like 2 years in advance, basically. And when you have elite prospects like that that commit super early, it kind of feels like then it's on the coaches to like try to retain them, because now the norm is going to be like guys decommitting, guys considering other options. So like it may not even be the right move for teams to like try and lock up guys 2 years early. So it always kind of, like you said, it always kind of felt like, yeah, sure, he's committed to Michigan State, but can MSU hold that for two whole years? And, you know, he moved up to class of 2021 and they weren't able to hold that.
Yeah. And as you kind of said, when guys commit to schools, the minute they commit up until they put their, you know, pen to paper is just kind of, it feels like you're maybe babysitting, you know, trying to make sure they just don't go anywhere. And that was kind of what you felt like with Michigan State. Like I said, it just never felt like he was in on Michigan State. He was listed in their, they were listed in his Final Four, but it always felt like he was either probably going to go to Memphis or Kentucky, or he was, I personally thought he was headed to the NBA right off. So I'm or G League. So I'm a little surprised he's even doing the Memphis thing. But, and then you have to think about, you know, they had a huge recruiting class last year and their main guy didn't play most of the season, and James Wiseman. So hopefully this is all, you know, hopefully that situation doesn't happen again. And I'm obviously not saying it did, but you just have to look at, you know, Memphis always has great recruiting classes, but they have yet to really put anything on the floor. So that'll be interesting to see how these guys mesh and whatnot with Penny.
Yeah, I think with NIL put into effect now, and you have these other options for guys to go play early, like the overtime league or going overseas or playing in the G League. I think that recruiting's kind of, it's going to be a little bit of a shit show now moving forward. Just like anybody that commits that early, do you really have them, or are they going to change their mind and go somewhere else? Like you said, are you going to have to babysit this recruit? You know, are you going to have a good class lined up? And then months before, like, you know, the spring and summer before, are you going to lose those players? I'm not saying it's going to be a common occurrence. You know, Bowen Hardman, I'm pretty sure he committed pretty early. I don't have his page pulled up, but he's only a 3-star. So there's not as much concern over losing a 3-star versus Imani Bates, who was the top player in 2022. And I think in 2021 now he's like number 4 or 5, but Ohio State's not too worried about Bowen Hardman, like, you know, flaking off and going somewhere else. But it's something that maybe you won't see teams pursue classes that are that far up ahead so early, because they're concerned that, you know, they might just lose the guy anyways.
Yeah, and there is a complete kind of flip to that argument that I think you could make of Bowen Hardman. For example, he was the first person, I believe, of this 2022 class to commit. So if you're Bowen Hardman and you see Roddy Gale, Bruce Thornton, and then Felix Akpoar come in, plus Ohio State's added some transfers, you might be kind of like, oh, wait a minute. You know, this is going to be a really good team, but I might not be able to play. I don't know where I am on this depth chart. So maybe you see a guy like that decommit and go, so I'm not saying Bowen will, of course, but I think that's an interesting thing to look at, just with how easy it is to decommit and commit somewhere else, you know, if he thinks he can't really find his way.
He's a 3-star though. So I think you're going to see that more with the 5-star guys that are going to be like, I have all these different options. I could go pro. I could do this. I could do that. I could go to this school and make big NIL money here or there. I mean, I don't think that you're going to be too worried about like a 3-star doing that. I guess he could, but it's just something to look at. I think recruiting, I know you're more in touch with recruiting than I am, but it's going to be harder and harder to keep up with all the stuff that could be happening when you think things are locked in and they're not actually locked in.
Yeah, and it's also interesting with the new NIL stuff to look at a guy like James Wiseman, who last year, what happened wouldn't have even been illegal. So he's probably looking back going like, man, okay, that's interesting that I missed my entire college season for something that's legal now. But, you know, it's an ever-flowing. We don't know a lot about the NIL. It's kind of like if you follow movies and what's happening with movies and streaming, it's kind of like the Wild West. People don't really know what's going on. They don't know how to, like, handle it in terms of a revenue standpoint. It's kind of the same thing with college basketball and college football right now, with nobody really knows what the NIL is going to bring. Everybody has their opinions, of course. Some people think it's the devil. I wouldn't go that far. But there is definitely some learning to be had when it comes to this kind of stuff.
Yeah, a lot of moving parts, a lot of different options for high schoolers when they're, you know, finishing up school, and they could go in several different directions now. We'll see if eventually they just get rid of one and done, and, you know, guys can just go directly to the NBA. Technically you can't do that still, but like there are ways to essentially do that, and there are definitely ways to go play somewhere else for a short time and then go to the NBA. So a lot of different stuff going on, a lot of different options for guys. It's going to be really hard to keep track of it. I'm definitely more on the activity on the court side of the basketball, whereas I know you definitely split it between kind of what's actively going on and what's going on with recruiting. So, you know, good luck with that as we move forward for sure.
Yeah, and, you know, you mentioned recruiting. There's been a lot of activity. This is in the Ohio State, in just college basketball recruiting world. Everybody knows the biggest time for visits and offers are like June and July. So once you start getting to September and October, as we are in August, these guys will start narrowing down the list, and you'll start to really kind of figure out who you actually have, who you actually have a chance with, and who you can kind of cross off the list. For Ohio State, last week they were able to cross off the number one recruit in Ohio in 2022, the number four overall recruit in the nation, Chris Livingston. He narrowed his list down to Georgetown, Memphis, Kentucky, and Tennessee State, and the G League. Most people assume he's either going to the G League or Memphis. Again, Memphis just kind of a recruiting hotbed because of Penny Hardaway and so many connections that he has. And I mean, if you're a guy like Livingston, you see Duran and Bates go there, that definitely doesn't hurt. But Ohio State was never really on his list. There was always a chance that maybe you just grew up a Buckeye fan as an Ohio player and you have that option. But, you know, he's obviously one of the better talents the state's seen in the past 20 years. The G League is definitely a very, very strong option there for him. Another person that narrowed their list was Jairus Walker. He's a top 20 recruit in 2022. He narrowed his list down to seven schools. Ohio State was not one of them. Again, always kind of felt like an outside option, but he did have a visit in June. He did enjoy it. So
he's a bigger guy, right? He's like basically a center. So I think when Akpara committed, I think that basically was out the window, right? He's like the center. He's a pretty big boy, right?
A lot of comparisons to Draymond Green with Jairus Walker, kind of a bigger guy, but he plays bigger than he is. And he can also kind of do a little bit of everything. I don't think he's quite the passer Draymond is, but other than that, I've seen that comparison a couple times. Patrick Wessler is one that I can definitely tell you once Akpara committed, he was done. He was a 3-star center that Ohio State had been in contact with, but once you have Akpara, you don't need another one. Wessler narrowed down his list, and Ohio State wasn't on there. A couple other guys made their decisions. Again, Terrace Reed and Kyle Filipowski. Two guys they were probably on the – Terrace Reed for a while was trending, looking like he might go to Ohio State. But again, once Akpara committed, probably felt like he was going somewhere else. He's going to Michigan. Kyle Filipkowski is going to Duke. I mean, it's hard to argue when you lose a recruit to Duke. You know, that's just the nature of the beast. And then Isaac Trout, who is a player out in Nebraska, who I actually covered as a high school sports reporter when I was out there. He's a fantastic player. He is heading to Virginia. So for Ohio State, they have four guys right now in the 2022 class: Roddy Gale, Bruce Thornton, Felix Akpara, and Bowen Hardman. It's hard to really get many more right now, just because I know you talked about this, Connor. It's hard to know exactly how many spots they're going to need to fill next year with the free year of eligibility. If everybody leaves, it'd be 9 spots. That's how many people would be gone. That's if everybody that can leave, leaves, and EJ Liddell goes to the NBA. Obviously, a guy like Justin Arnes or Justice Suing or even Liddell could be back. So it's just hard to tell exactly what you need to fill. But Dylan Mitchell is probably their main guy left. We still don't know if the overtime elite offer for him was legitimate or not. He hasn't said anything about it, and I haven't seen anything about it. But if it wasn't legit or if he's not considering it, then he's probably down to Ohio State and Tennessee. It seems like that's kind of the smoke that's moving in that direction. Then A.J. Casey is a top 10 recruit in the 2022 class. He recently narrowed his list down in August to 8 schools. Ohio State was on there, but they don't feel like a favorite for him. I think he's been trending towards Kansas recently, I want to say. Maybe Kentucky. I get my K's confused. But either Kansas or Kentucky, so we'll see about him. And then that's about it. Like I said, it's hard for them to really add too many more guys without knowing what they actually need to add, because you don't want to go over that scholarship limit next year.
Right. Dylan Mitchell has one crystal ball, it looks like, Tennessee, but that was over a month ago and still nothing since then.
Yeah, and that was just – I know Tennessee, that was his most recent visit, so that could just be off that.
Well, first of all, thank you for that big rundown. That is very useful information for everybody, including me. And the second, one you did not hit on that you did a piece on, who I'm a little bit interested in this guy, just because he seems like compared to the pace that Holtman's been setting with recruiting, it seems like, I don't know if it's mean to say a step back. They offered Bryce Sensabaugh, who is a forward. He's 6'6", almost 250 pounds as an 18-year-old, which is kind of wild. So this is a big guy. He is not a center. He is listed as a wing. He is a 3-star, and he is the 164th ranked recruit in the country. I think that's according to 247 Sports, but if you look at Rivals, I think they have him as like a 4-star and like 78th in the country. So just a huge like deviation of where those two recruiting sites see him, which, again, you're more into recruiting than I am. I don't know how common that is, but that's a huge deviation between the two. And last week he put out his final four, I believe it was four, and it was like an hour after Ohio State offered. So clearly he was waiting to see if Ohio State was going to offer, and he probably had the graphic ready. So obviously he's interested in Ohio State. What I'm interested in is you have Dylan Mitchell and Bryce Sensabaugh, who two different players, but they're both wings, two very different types of players, but they're both wings. They're clearly not a guard. They're clearly not center. Sensabaugh is just a little bit bigger and not quite as mobile as Mitchell. How obviously they're trying to land one of these guys if they can, but I just don't know like how they're going to do that. If it looks like the Sensabaugh, his timeline looks like it's moving faster than Dylan Mitchell's. And is he even like good enough for the class? That maybe I didn't word that correctly, but when I saw his overall like rankings with 24/7, maybe he's just a guy that Holtman's like, rankings be damned, I know this guy can play. And if you do that, you're not going to get Dylan Mitchell too.
Yeah, he's a really good player. It kind of feels like they're either going to they want Mitchell, but they'll take Sensabaugh kind of a deal, because Mitchell is like a top 20 recruit right now. So Sensabaugh is a good player. The big thing with him is he plays summer ball with Bruce Thornton. So you're going to have two guys that come in. They're close to best friends. So you're going to have two guys that come in that are going to be hugely familiar with each other in that sense. They play all their ball together. So that's a plus, obviously. Thornton is obviously – and also, you know, we talked about losing five stars. Bruce Thornton has crazily rose up the rankings listing this summer. So it would be kind of nice if you do bring in Sensabaugh. Maybe you have somebody's ear if he does decide – maybe if he starts to think about other options. Again, that's just complete speculation. But, you know, Sensabaugh, he's had a great summer, so that could be the reason for the difference in ranking. And also, kind of like you said, he's kind of weirdly in between on what he is. He's 6'6", but he's 250, you know. So a lot of guys might consider him to be more of a bigger wing, or some guys consider him to be maybe a little smaller of a power forward, and that's maybe where the rankings comparison or the
right. He's like EJ Liddell size, but plus like 15 pounds, yet he's like 3 years younger.
Yeah, exactly. So he's definitely got, and you got to figure he's going to grow a little bit, because he's probably 16 or 17, you know, 22, class of 2022, you know. So he's just entering his senior season. So it's going to be very interesting to see kind of, it just depends on with Mitchell. Everything went so quiet, so quick, and it's weird because it seemed like we might get a commitment from Mitchell like even in late July, and then it just went really quiet, and then the Overtime Elite report came out. That would make sense as to why it went quiet, but no one's confirmed that here or there, so we don't really know. So it just depends on what Mitchell is actually thinking. I'm sure he's been in contact with Ohio State. You know, when I say quiet, I mean Twitter went quiet about it. I don't have any inside information on that. So, you know, I'm sure that if there is something to be had, they'll get Mitchell, but, you know, it's just Mitchell. It's tough to tell where Mitchell's leaning, so it's tough to tell. Kind of, I don't think they're going to bring on both of them. So that's just
I don't think they will either. It just interests me how the recruiting rankings for Sensabaugh after they have Thornton, Roddy Gale, Akpara, and Hardman are the four. Hardman's kind of like low in the rankings, but he looks like he's going to be kind of comparable like Justin Arns. Like he has a very clear use on this team. Whatever his rankings are, just throws out the window. We know what we need him for. The rest of the guys are like all top 50 players. So then I can see where there would be potential like kickback from the public and stuff like that. If your next guy is like, okay, he's number 170 in the country, people are going to be like, oh, you know, what's going on there? So I just wasn't sure. You know, coaches, happens all the time though. You know, Dwayne Washington was like 150 some in the country, and you know, he's in the NBA now basically. If a coach sees a guy and he's like, I want him to play for me, this guy can play. Maybe he's really good, but the rankings just he's just a notch below where they've been recruiting at lately.
Yeah, and rankings, you do have to – they're important, obviously, but you have to take them with a little bit of grain of salt. I remember when I did an article about Patrick Wessler possibly going to Ohio State, the most comments were, oh, he's only a three-star. We're better than that. It's like, well, first of all, Ohio State really at this point isn't, to be very honest with you. They're just not. They're having a great recruiting year, and that's good. But three-star recruits are fantastic. They're still fantastic high school players. And you also have to give – they're also juniors at the time. So you have to give them – these rankings are going to change. And it seems like from what you just said, Senzabal's ranking is going higher, not lower. So he could very well be a top 100 guy by the end of this – by the end of, you know, let's say February. So it'll be interesting to see kind of where he goes. But Ohio State – we're not talking about Kentucky here, okay?
That's true. I mean, they can, you know, they can change as well. It's very true. So we'll see what happens. That's a very good, that's a pretty good rundown of like what's going on now. That's a very good 10-minute cliff notes so everybody knows kind of where things stand. Another big story outside of the Big Ten. Chris Mack has been suspended 6 games by the University of Louisville for failing to follow university guidelines, policies, and procedures in handling the matter during the Dino Gaudio investigation, which cliff notes, neither of us are Louisville fans. We don't pay super, super close attention to it. But basically, Dino Gaudio was Louisville's associate head coach. So the top assistant there last year. And then he apparently went to Chris Mack. It says, according to the Louisville Courier-Journal, it says, Dino Gaudio claims to have confronted Louisville head coach Chris Mack multiple times over potential NCAA infractions before he threatened to share his concerns with the NCAA after being fired by his longtime friend in March. He has now pled guilty to one count of interstate communication with the intent to extort. Basically, he's been charged with extortion and a $10,000 fine. He said, I'm going to share this information with the NCAA. I don't know what he was demanding from Chris Mack. It doesn't say in the article what he was demanding, but basically Chris Mack turned around and said, you're fired. don't try to big you know what me. Like, you're fired. You can't treat me like this. I'm your boss. And he fired him. And I guess however Chris Mack handled that investigation, you know, the university suspended him for the first 6 games of the season, and he cannot talk to any of his coaches or players for the whole 6-game period, which for college hoops is probably 2 or 3 weeks, I'm guessing, which is kind of a big deal in the beginning of the season. He's just going to be cut off from his team for 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, if you followed this whole thing with Dino and in this invest, this has been 2 or 3 years in the making. It seems like this might be the final just straw, I don't know, just wrap up of this, just a 6-game suspension for Chris Mack. Like you said, everything I found that talks about is kind of vague and what actually happened and probably have to be because this goes way beyond just us. You know, this was FBI. This was, you know, like you said, Gaudino's in jail. So this was a very, very, very serious and you know, this stuff goes back to even Sean Miller and all that. It's just such a mess. And it's honestly very difficult to even kind of pin down what happened and how Chris Mack's even involved, because when this started, I'm pretty sure he was still Xavier. So it's all a mess. And I personally, as a college basketball fan, I hope this 6-game suspension's quick and we can just move past it, because it's been kind of a roller coaster, to say the least.
Yeah, it's an interesting article. If you can get, I think, 6 free articles from the Louisville Courier Journal before you have to subscribe, so I'm cashing one in right now. Basically, it says, Gaudio claims that Mack used graduate assistants to practice against his team and authorized individualized recruiting videos for top prospects, which are both violations of NCAA rules. According to the sentencing, Gaudio approached Mack at least twice with concerns about violations of COVID protocols during the summer. And then it says, let's see here. After the season was over with and they did not make the tournament, it says Mack notified Gaudio that his contract would not be renewed, citing poor staff chemistry. Gaudio did not know that Chris Mack was taping their private meeting. He responded by threatening to disclose potential infractions unless he was paid a large sum of money or a monthly severance package until he retired. And that is when they fired him. So I don't know what Chris Mack, obviously, Louisville is doing kind of what Ohio State did for Urban Meyer, which is we're going to get out in front of this and we are going to suspend our coach now so that the NCAA hopefully won't do something worse down the road when all the details come out. However Chris Mack did it, I'm guessing it was probably with communications, who you probably shouldn't have been talking to. He gets 6 games, but it's just like, that's juicy stuff. That's really funny that his assistant coach basically is like, pay me this much money or I'm going to make this public. And he's like, do it. you're fired.
Yeah, it's like I said, it's, you know, they kind of pulled the whole, okay, we'll just punish ourselves before we try to get punished by somebody else. But, you know, it's just like you said, I think I'm just happy that this is kind of moving on and we're getting away from this because it's been quite a roller coaster.
Yeah, and Louisville's they're very familiar with NCAA violations. They, you know, they go from Patino straight over to Mac to who they think is a straight shooter and a clean guy, and there you go, back in it again. On the other end of the spectrum, you know, just to finish off with something a little bit lighter, Chris Holtmann posted something on Instagram. If you guys have an Instagram, you go to Instagram and look at Chris Holtmann's account. I think his account is just like Coach Holtmann or something like that, but he posted a picture. I don't remember what the caption is. I don't know if you could pull it up real quick, but it was like he has a basketball hoop in his yard, and it was like new hoop, same drip or something like that. Like clearly one of his, it says new hoop, same bounce. Clearly one of his players helped him with the caption. And the players were just in the comments, just like wheezing and laughing. And it's hilarious because he clearly lowered it down to like 7 feet, or he's standing on a box or something.
Yeah. And you know, it's funny to talk about and stuff, and you know, it's, you know, we'll forget about this in the next week, but it is good to see like kind of a coach who doesn't take himself too seriously in regards to like Chris Holtmann. And it does make a difference with culture and stuff like that, because you can see the players enjoy it and they have fun with it. And, you know, it kind of, I mean, this is when their stuff is really going to ramp up. So it's kind of cool to see them having some fun as well.
Yeah. And I mean, he doesn't have any kids that play basketball. He only has one kid, and it's his daughter's like 11 or something. So my guess is he probably got the hoop for the guys when they come over. That's probably for the team, like his guys to come over and play basketball and stuff when they're over. I know he does like a lot of, he has a pool out back, it looks like, from what he's posted. He has the guys over like go swimming and stuff. So they try to do a very family oriented and like family atmosphere there. So I bet the hoop is probably for his players. So seeing that, to wrap things up, we decided, we thought it'd be kind of funny to do a real quick, a draft of Big Ten basketball coaches if we were playing pickup basketball tomorrow. Neither of us are playing, so we're both going to take 5 coaches. We flipped a coin before we started recording because there's a very clear number one overall pick, and he is in Ann Arbor. And then we're going to each take a few coaches, and we're going to see who our teams of middle-aged men are going to be if we were to line it up and play a backyard basketball game. So you won the coin flip. You get the first pick. You can go ahead and make your first pick.
Yeah, I'm going to take Tom. I'm just kidding. I'm going to take Juwan Howard. That's, you know, come on.
So you're going Juwan Howard with your first pick. Okay, makes sense. Former NBA player, NBA champion.
You're really going out of limb on that one.
I will. I'll take. So we're all out of NBA. We're all out of NBA vets, so I'll take Ben Johnson from Minnesota just because he's young. I think he's like 40. He played at Minnesota and Northwestern, but mostly just because he's young. He's not old yet, I guess. That'll be my pick.
Yeah, what a sentence when talking about a basketball game. He's young. He's 40. So I went Juwan Howard. You went Ben Johnson. I think with my next pick, I'm going to go Chris Holtmann. I think he was a point guard. I completely take that back. I said the wrong Chris. I want Chris Collins from Northwestern.
You want Chris Collins. Okay. So you have Juwan Howard and Chris Collins. So I started with a guard. So I will go ahead and I'll take a big man. And he used to be a much bigger man, but he's lost some weight. I'm going to take Brad Underwood from Illinois because he looks like Charles Barkley if Charles Barkley was like 15 years older. I think that he'd be good for rebounds and probably nothing else. So I'll take Brad Underwood.
Yeah, that's a good pick. So if my next pick, I will take Chris Holtmann. Then I need a point guard. I think he's a guy who can, you know, keep it light. He is a younger guy. He's probably the third youngest coach in the Big Ten, something like that. So he'll keep it light. Good for locker room morale. I don't know if we have a locker room. We didn't specify this was one game or anything else, but I think we actually just said it was one game, but never, they might be in the locker room at some point.
Okay, so I've got a guard. I've got, I guess, a center technically. Let me think who else in the league. Who else could I take here? There's a lot of really tall coaches in the Big Ten. Now that I'm thinking about it, there are a lot of really big guys that coach. Mm-hmm. Oh, let's think here. Oh man, we have a lot of tall potbelly white guys. No offense to the potbelly white guys. I'm sure they're all nice. Okay, I need a second guard too. So, oh my goodness, this is tough. There's just too many big guys. I guess I'll take Mark Turgeon. That's disgusting, but I don't know if he played, but I need somebody that's smaller. I need a guard. He can be my off guard. Ben Johnson can be my point guard, so I'll do Turgeon, I guess.
Mark Turgeon did play. I can confirm that. I can't tell you if he played well, but he played. So you have those three. I have these three. I'm going to go with kind of a probably a little bit out of left field option here. I'm going to go Greg Gard. And the reason being, I think he can be – wait. That's Wisconsin's coach, right?
Yes, it
yeah,
is.
Okay. Oh, that is a brain cramp. Yeah, so I'm going to go Greg Gard. I think he can be a good kind of down low. He seems like he's got some girth to him. So we'll go with that one.
Okay, I'm going to take my second big man, and I don't know why I forgot about this. I'm going to take Matt Painter. He also – I think he's like in his 50s, but he looks younger. He looks like he's still got a pep in his step. Like he would show up to like the local rec center and play with the 20-year-olds and give them buckets. So I'll take Matt Painter as well.
That's a good pick. I almost took him. So now we're down to our final picks, correct?
Yes. So far you have Juwan Howard, clearly a post player. Chris Collins and Chris Holtman, couple of guards. Greg Gard, who despite his name being guard, I don't know if he could be a guard technically. And then I have Ben Johnson and Turgeon, clearly they're both guards. And then Brett Underwood and Painter, who are definitely post players.
Okay. So with my final pick, then I will go with. I'm in between two, but I will go with Micah Strewsbury from Penn State because he's younger, and I think I need a little bit of youth to my team.
Okay. So we have nine, which means there are five left. So I know Pikel is out there, McCaffrey is out there,
Izzo
is available. What other coaches are out there still? Izzo, Pikel. I'm forgetting two coaches for sure. Man, I'm trying to think who's in the Big Ten. We were looking for a list, but I cannot find a list of all the coaches in the Big Ten.
Well, you're forgetting your guy at Nebraska.
Oh my gosh, you're right. Oh, that's a good pick. Good pick for my team.
One is Mike Woodson at Indiana. Those are the people we're forgetting.
Holy cow. There's no going back. I can't believe I took Mark Turgeon when Mike Woodson was right there, but I'll take Hoiberg. Another young guy. I'll go three guard, two post players. So, our lineups are, your lineup is Juwan Howard, Micah Strewsbury, Greg Gard, Chris Holtman, Chris Collins. And my lineup is Ben Johnson, Mark Turgeon, Brett Underwood, Matt Painter, Fred Hoiberg. That there's going to be a lot of knees popping, backs cracking, people taking timeouts every 6 minutes in this game.
Yeah, I'm not convinced we won't lose one of these guys, to be very honest with you. But, you know, hopefully they'll all make it through.
Lose them, like, for good?
I don't know last time these guys were that active. Let's just say that.
All right, folks, so I'm sure we'll never see that. But there you go. There's your coach pickup teams there. Let's see here.
Yeah, if you're listening to this and you have any ideas on how we could actually get this to fruition, let us know.
Absolutely. All right, Justin, I think we're just about done. You want to take us away here on the ending there and get these folks out of here?
Yeah, there's a little recruiting update for you and our draft teams of our 5-on-5 game that would likely be a very big event on CBS Sports Network 3 or something like that. So, we're going to wrap this up for today. We're recording on Thursday night, so hopefully when you're listening to this, you will be after an Ohio State football victory. Minnesota is always a team that can be a little tricky, so it should be a good game. Don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and music to Bucketheads. Landgrant Holy Land has also rolled out a few new podcasts this season and will be posting new podcast episodes at least 5 days a week, so make sure to keep your eyes on that. For now, we are still every other week, but we are officially shifting from Tuesdays to Fridays. So for all of September, check us out every other Friday And then once we get into October, we will make this a weekly get together, just depending on the schedules and how, when Ohio State plays, that might change from Fridays. But for now, it is still on Fridays. So in October, we'll be shifting to weekly. So make sure you catch us then. So far, we've only had 7 episodes. We've already had some great guests, including Chris Holtman. So, you know, this podcast is only going farther up. So get on the train while you can. We will leave you. So that will do it for us. You can find me at Justin_Golba. And Connor, where can we find you?
You can follow me at Lamons_Connor on Twitter. You can follow the new, our podcast has an account now as well. Justin so graciously went in and took 2 minutes and made us an account. So we have at BucketheadsLGHL is our Twitter account now. And you can follow Land Grant Holyland at LandGrant33 or LandGrantHolyland.com. If you have any guests that you want us to have on, send us a DM either personally or at the Bucketheads account. Like I said, we've already climbed the mountaintop. We already got Holtman, which was kind of like what we were going to swing to have him on by the end of the season. So we've already got what we consider probably our biggest guest already out of the way. So there's no fish that's too big for us to catch at this point. Thank you guys for tuning in. Hopefully by this time, Ohio State football is 1-0. But for us, it's Thursday night now, so we're going to go catch this game and go Bucks.